In the vast, brutal tapestry of Warhammer 40,000, where every corner of the galaxy is drenched in blood and despair, one could be forgiven for thinking that everyone has reason to be depressed. Battles rage across a million worlds at any given moment. Enormous starships carrying billions might explode without warning. The entire human Imperium is teetering on the brink of collapse, sustained only by fanatic devotion to a long-dead god, while its enemies include gods of chaos, swarms of living plague, and armies of warped monsters. In such a universe, hopelessness is the default setting. And yet today we examine a seemingly odd claim that the Necrons are the only race suffering from depression. It sounds absurd at first, but Warhammer lore has a way of hiding truth in hyperbole. To find out why this dark joke might actually ring true, we must dive into the Necron story and the grimdark atmosphere they inhabit. A war-worn observer would note, Warhammer's own creed declares it plainly, in the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war. This sums up a place where hope is almost a myth. The sky above any given battle is likely orange with fire and ash. The ground is soaked in chemicals and extinction. The war machines stomp over corpses as triumphantly as toddlers march to cartoons. No one has the luxury to be content, let alone happy. Yet, even in this galaxy of misery, something about the Necrons stands out, a silent sorrow behind their glowing green eyes. Why would the only race with immortality, empty time, and no real purpose be singled out as the only depressed ones? As ridiculous as it sounds, the answer lies in their unique tragedy. For the Necrons, the story begins millions of years before the events of 40K. The beings we now call Necrons were once the Necrontyr, a star-faring species of frail mortals whose short, painful lives were ruined by cosmic radiation. They envied other races who lived longer or could explore the stars without burning out. When the Necrontyr declared war on the Old Ones, ancient creators of life, out of spite, a turning point came. They were offered immortality by the Khitan, star gods hungry for worship and power. They agreed to a terrible transformation called the biotransference. In flaming biofurnaces, each Necrontyr was stripped of flesh and soul, reborn as a living metal skeleton driven by cold logic. The universe gained legions of unstoppable warriors, but the Necrontyr gained something far more twisted than eternal life. They gained endless emptiness. When the biotransference was complete, the Necrons lost everything that had once made them sentient in a human way. Compassion, curiosity, the ability to love or dream, all of these were engineered out. Instead of beating hearts and warm blood, they now had Durali and Ceramite. Their memories of childhood or the taste of food became nothing more than corrupted data files, if they survived at all. Imagine believing eternal life is a dream come true, only to discover you can no longer laugh at a joke, cry for a loss, or even feel the warmth of the sun on your metal skin. Even the Necron overlords know deep down, they traded away their humanity for immortality, and the trade-off was a lifetime of numbness. Now, consider the results of this bargain. The Necrons were granted immortality, but at what price? Without the warmth of mortality, the concept of living lost all meaning. Time became a yawning void. They awaken millennia later on tomb worlds forgotten by history. Stars have been born and died, empires have exploded like fireworks, and countless strangers who once idolized them have decayed to dust. And yet the Necrons remain, cold and unchanged. Their awakening is often written as a tragic event. Broken sarcophagi on dead worlds, machines rising from dust, no glory in their eyes. No one cheers for them. There are no liberators to greet their return. Instead, these undead legions find emptiness. Each tomb world is a mausoleum, echoing with the hiss of machinery, not the warmth of family. When a Necron overlord looks up at alien skies, if he could feel wonder, he does not. If he remembers home, he only mourns silently. Stars have risen and died, empires bloomed and crumbled, and yet they stand unchanging. Every sunrise is a cruel reminder of how much time has been lost. Even among their number, these undead nobles carry shadows of their former grief. Sarek, the Silent King, is a prime example. Once High Lord of the Necrontyre, he foresaw that their pact with the Saitan would doom his people. In shame and foresight, he abandoned his throne just before the transference, sentencing himself to tens of millions of years in self-imposed exile. When he finally returns in modern times, he does not roar with joy or pride. Instead, he governs with a stately melancholy, an emperor returning home to find his empire turned to dust. He wages war not with the glee of conquest, but with the quiet dignity of a ruler seeking atonement. Behind every calculated strike he orders, one can imagine the Silent King thinking of the price he paid. He is their leader who traded everything and gained only regrets. Others share similar burdens. Orokin the Exile, a master chronomancer, foresaw the disasters that would befall the Necrontyre, but was ignored. He spent eons tinkering with time in hope of preventing what happened, and the fact that it still did must haunt him. Now he sows timelines and manipulates fate, perhaps as a distraction from the immortality he helped create. These overlords fixate on conquest and perfection, not because they can't surrender, they literally can't die, but maybe because channeling emptiness into order is all they know. Each strategic campaign, each precision strike, might be less about victory and more about feeling something, even if that something is merely the high of success, though even that fades quickly. At the core of the Necron's tragedy is their soullessness. In the Warhammer setting, having a soul means an afterlife, dreams, and emotions. The Necrons have none of that. They stand as stoic automatons, at best clinging to logic and order, at worst succumbing to madness from monotony. When a Necron does emote, a flash of anger or a glimmer of pride, it's often just a fluke of programming or a filtered memory. Imagine being alive, but feeling nothing at all. If every other race clings to hope or faith, humans worship an emperor, Tau have the greater good, Eldar follow prophecies, the Necrons have only silence. They can neither pray nor fear for an afterlife, for their existence is a flat line with no ripple. Some fans describe them as truly detached, as if the emptiness inside is so vast that even the warp ignores them. So many tragedies in 40K involve feeling something horrible. The Necrons, by contrast, stand apart because they cannot feel in the first place. If despair is the problem, the Necrons have an entire eternity to contemplate it, but no heart to hold it. Because of this void, some Necrons attempt strange coping mechanisms. Take the flayed ones of the Novok dynasty. Cursed by the dying Sitan Landu the Flayer, these warriors roam in maddened hunger for meat. Not for sustenance, but for feeling. They rip and feast on flesh and bone, seeking a sensation they can never truly have again. Each bite is a sorrowful reminder of the warmth and moisture they lost. Other Necron entities exhibit subtle signs of memory. Trazin the Infinite, for example, collects art and history obsessively. He hoards relics from countless civilizations as if trying to stitch together the memories his race can no longer recall. Every artifact whispers of stories long forgotten, and by preserving them, Trazin might be trying to recover a spark of feeling. One could say that Trazin's archives and museum are his way of coping, a desperate attempt to reclaim the humanity that time and the Sitan stripped away. Even so, the Necrons find solitude in obsession. Lords like Imhotep the Stormlord pour themselves into conquest. He conquers sector after sector with such cold efficiency that one wonders if war itself is his sole comfort. To him, endless victory might be the only sensation he recognizes. Each new world underfoot might offer a fraction of purpose. The Cryptechs, wielders of arcane science, spend centuries tweaking the laws of physics, perhaps to distract from the emptiness. Their patience is legendary. A Necron could discuss a strategy in complete silence for years. One story claims a meeting of Necron nobility lasted 3 silent years before a single word was spoken. The agony of boredom or waiting so long is unimaginable for us. It has been said, half jokingly, that the agony of immortality leads to insanity, and in a sense it does. The Necrons aren't eccentric by choice. They have an eternity to find quirks to keep them busy. To be fair, and a little balanced, the Necrons are not entirely alone in hardship. Every major faction in 40K endures nightmares. The Imperium of Man is besieged on all sides. Entire regiments die daily, and yet the Cog soldiers keep marching thanks to faith and propaganda. The Elder Ayaldari suffered the fall and carry that trauma, but they channel it into prophecy and rage against chaos. Orcs might fling themselves into danger with exuberant glee, seemingly immune to despair. Tau march forward with stubborn optimism under the greater good. Even chaos demons thrive on negative emotions. They practically revel in despair. Compared to all that, you might think the Necrons would be callously proud, but they are oddly the ones who stare back at loss. Consider each in turn. Orcs are notoriously cheerful amidst death. Space Marines turn despair into righteous fury. Imperial soldiers mindlessly accept martyrdom. Eldar drown themselves in culture or vengeance. Tau simply won't admit they fear anything. Tyranids have no individual mind to worry. Chaos. Demons lap up misery like candy. Each finds an outlet, a way to either suppress or consume sorrow. In contrast, the Necrons literally cannot channel misery into anything. They have no faith, no art, not even a war cry to drown it out. They just are. To them, every victory means another minute alone with their thoughts. If any race could sit quietly with its despair, it's the Necrons. That may explain the dark joke. Maybe we single them out because they're the only ones who can truly recognize what they're missing. Maybe it was never meant to be taken literally. Warhammer stories often wink that absurdities hide deeper truths. Think of it. Out of everyone in the galaxy, them being labeled depressed is a cosmic joke. But when we look closer, the joke has a point. Unlike any other faction, the Necrons have literally seen everything and lost it all. When a Tau Marine cries out for greater good, or a Space Marine screams expletives while charging a demon, they still feel something. A Necron? He stands unmoved, silent in front of the stars, without a pulse or tear to mark even minor loss. It's a grim symmetry. The only way to grasp the depth of their plight is by treating this absurd claim seriously. When examined, it becomes a metaphor. Of all the mighty armies, their victory is the saddest. So, in the end, this question pulls focus. Maybe everyone is broken in Warhammer, but only the Necrons have the perspective to know it. They built their empire on sorrow and science, and now face eternity empty-handed. If horror stories had an award, the Necrons would win Galactic Irony of the Year. By granting them immortality, the cosmos trapped them with the ultimate curse, endless time to miss what they no longer have. Think about it. Their ancient enemies, mankind, orcs, Eldar, eventually find another war, another god, or another faster target to charge. The Necrons, by contrast, find only silence and machinery. Other races drown their pain in blood, in dreams, or in the actual warp. The Necrons have nowhere to hide. On some level, they might even envy the very enemies they exterminate. Imagine an orc with a broken leg. He'd scream in pain. A Necron's leg would repair itself while his mind never flinches. Even the act of feeling pain is gone. In fact, a fan might say the Necrons carry victory like a stone around their neck. They conquered the galaxy in the name of their old gods, but who's left to conquer emotion? The most powerful beings are, in effect, begging to lose their powers just to feel something. So, although calling them the only depressed race is hyperbole, it's also a sort of tragic compliment. It means Warhammer acknowledges that maybe, just maybe, being unstoppable and eternal can feel pretty damn empty. Ultimately, the only decent ending we can give to this grim train of thought is a quip Warhammer itself would appreciate. In the grim darkness of the far future, even the metal skeletons get the blues. Yes, the Necrons can crush planets with a thought, yet sometimes all they might wish for is a way to feel. And if that sounds too heavy or absurd, well, welcome to Warhammer 40,000. Even its coldest warriors echo our own darkest thoughts. The point of this dark exercise is clear. Even undead emperors can understand despair. In a galaxy drowning in endless war, the Necrons stand out simply because they have the time to understand just how meaningless it all is. The nightmare has no ending unless someone dares to hope, and perhaps the Necrons gave that up long ago. In Warhammer's twisted ledger, they are the blank lines under joy, watching everyone else scribble on with battle cries. If any race might deserve our pity, it is them. Not for the emotions they display, but for the emptiness they carry. After all, in the grim darkness of the far future, sometimes the ones who can never die seem the most alive with secrets they alone remember. There you have it. Only the Necrons have all the time in the universe to notice their own loneliness. And really, if that's not dark humor, what is?